I am going to have you this morning do what we did last week. Our text is in Hebrews 11, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5 to look at the historical background of what we're going to deal with this morning. So if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 5. You don't have to go too far in your Bibles to get there. And while you're doing that, I'm going to put up here my highly expanded definition of faith from Hebrews chapter 1 that I hammered out a couple of weeks ago, and our text from Hebrews chapter 11 for this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 begins this way: "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." The word "translated" literally means to put after. God picked him up and put him in a different place. It's as simple as that. "And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now, I want you to think about this for just a second before I get to the next verse. He was translated that he should not see death. He was not changed in a place on earth to another place on earth. He was changed or placed from a place of death to a place where there is no death. Very, very important to understand that. He was taken out of this world and taken to be with God in heaven. Here one moment, gone the next. But here's something that's interesting and something that has truly confounded me for years. Verse 6. Not so much what the verse says, but why verse 6 is verse 6. To me, it always seemed like it should be verse 2. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That, to me, has always sounded like a little bit more of an explanation of what the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 1 about faith is the substance of things not seen. And consequently, my definition up at the top there should be even longer than it already is. But then this week, as I was studying through this, I found why verse 6 is verse 6. The end of verse 5 says, "He had this testimony that he pleased God." What verse 6 is talking about is not a definition of faith. It is talking about a definition of what pleases God. And therefore, it is defining that more than it is defining his faith. That is going to be the central focus of our study this morning. But we should see in here these attributes of faith in Enoch. Take this first one. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." Now, I said in my definition, faith is the absolute confidence that what is predicted concerning the future will come to pass. And that prediction must be solely a revelation of God to men. So somewhere along the line, God must have communicated to Enoch something about the future. And I am going to suggest to you that he gave Enoch a very specific vision of the future. And Enoch responded appropriately to it. And consequently, because of that, he had before his translation a testimony that he pleased God. Well, that is the validating proof of the reality of things that cannot be comprehended by natural means. In other words, God didn't say to him, "I'm going to put a billboard out along the highway. I want you to know, world, that Enoch is pleasing to me." That's natural means. You could understand that. There had to be some non-natural or supernatural means that Enoch knew that his response to whatever it was that God had communicated to him was the appropriate, well-pleasing response. And I think you'll find that this is very interesting. Now, with that in mind, look at Genesis chapter 5. And I want to begin reading at verse 18, for that is the very first mention of the name Enoch in Scripture. Verse 18, in and of itself, I'm not interested in, but it's a good place to start. "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch." The only thing that we see here is his name. His father's name was Jared. By the way, Jared was not the father of all jewelers. That's not him. And Jared lived after he begat 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. This is the typical declaration of everyone up to this point in Scripture in this genealogy here. A person who was born, a person who had a son, a person who had other sons and daughters, they lived a certain amount of time and they died. You could just rubber stamp that right up to this point. That's the testimony of all of them. Beginning at verse 21, a radical change takes place. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now, nothing different there. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Notice what is missing. He didn't die. It says here that God took him. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 says that God translated him. Well, that's the Old Testament, New Testament correlation. Picked him up from one area, deposited him in another. Picked him up from a place of death, put him in a place where he would not see death. This one lived, this one had sons, this one died. This one lived, this one had sons, this one died, place of death. Enoch lived, he had sons. Out of here. Never died. That's missing. But notice what else is there that wasn't found in any of the other testimonies. Go back to verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years, begot Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God. Again, in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. Never said that of any of the other people. May I suggest to you that this walking with God is that which was well-pleasing to God. And in that walk with God, Enoch received testimony from God Himself that what he was doing was the right thing, was the appropriate response to the revelation that God had given him concerning the future. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor. I don't see any revelation concerning the future there. Where are you finding this? Oh, it's there. Guarantee you it's there. Be honest with me for just a second. I'm going to ask you to respond to this. If you are like me, raise your hand in this category. If I said that without this category, no hand would go up. How many of you, when you come to passages like Genesis chapter 5, that is simply a genealogy, you start reading it, this one, you got that one, he lived this one, he died, and you go, let's skim over that one. There's nothing important there. Oy vey. There is. I would like to suggest to you that the revelation is hinted at here in verse 22, where it says, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. Why did all of a sudden, here's a man who was following the norm, he was living, he was giving birth and all that kind of thing, having sons and daughters, but when Methuselah came along, all of a sudden apparently he started walking with God, which nobody else, according to testimony, had done before. What changed him? Lord willing, this evening I'm going to be starting a series of studies on the names of God. Names have significance. They tell of the character or the personality or the attributes or vocation of the person, biblically speaking. And the names of God are quite instructive. Lord willing, what I intend to do is take the names of God given in the Old Testament and then look at Jesus, who has a name which is above every other name, and say these names of God in the Old Testament are personified with the person of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Nonetheless, the name Methuselah has a very significant meaning to it. It literally means this: when he is gone, it shall be sent. And I'd like to suggest to you that when Methuselah was coming into existence, God communicated to Enoch that there was coming a worldwide judgment. A judgment upon ungodly people. If you drop on down to Genesis 6, and we won't do it, but basically God is saying to Noah later on, he said, time has come, I've had it up to about here with the world and their sin. Their thoughts are continually evil, and you've got 120 years until this world's coming to an end. I think prior to that, he communicated to Enoch, there is a coming worldwide catastrophe. Enoch, I want you to walk with me. And if you will walk with me, the catastrophe that is coming upon the world, which will bring death, I will spare you from. I will take you from a place of death, and I will deposit you in a place where there is no death. You will never see it. And Enoch believed that, and it changed his life. Now, how do I know this? Well, let's look at this genealogy. We're going to start here with the birth of Enoch. And if we go back to verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. So we'll put 65 years in there, and we have Methuselah coming on the scene. If you drop on down to verse 25, 187 years go by, and Methuselah's son Lamech is born. Verse 28 tells us Lamech had a child. His name was Noah, after he was 182 years old. Now, it was said that Enoch lived 300 years after the birth of Methuselah. He walked with God for 300 years. We have 187 of them there until Lamech is born. So he has 113 left, and he's translated. He's out of here. Gives you a little perspective. Noah never knew his, it would be his great-grandfather. He heard stories of him, I'm certain. But he never knew him. If you drop on down to Genesis chapter 7, verse 6, you will find that Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. Now, you don't need to turn. I'm just telling you that's where it comes from. Verse 30 here tells us that Lamech lived 595 years after the birth of Noah. So that means that 5 years before the flood came, Lamech died. Did some interesting calculations too. This has nothing to do with the message, but I've got all day to speak. So the ark was 120 years in preparation. Noah's first sons were born on his 500th birthday. That means for 20 years, Noah was building without his sons. Guess who else probably was helping him? Good old dad. Lamech was involved, more than likely, in building the ark. But he died 5 years before its completion. And consequently, he wasn't around for the flood. Now let's go back to Methuselah. 187 years till Lamech's born, 182 more years until Noah is born. That means when Noah was born, he was 369 years old. According to verse 27, how old was Methuselah when he died? 969 less 369 leaves 600 years. Well, wouldn't you know it? The very year that Methuselah died is the year the flood came upon all the earth. When he is gone, it shall be sent. I believe that God communicated to Enoch, you are going to have a son. He is going to live a long time. He will be a testimony to the world that as long as he is here, there is a period of grace where men can walk with me. But when he is gone, judgment is coming. Enoch, walk with me. And if you do, I will keep you from that judgment. I will take you out of the land of the dead. and puts you in the land of the living. And Enoch walked with God. Let's go back to our text. How did he walk with God? How does anyone walk with God? Verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that, first of all, cometh to God. If I were to say, Brad, I want you to walk with me. And Brad just sits there. Brad is not walking with me, is he? In order for Brad to walk with me, he first must come to me. He cannot do that where he is. And for anyone to walk with God, they first of all must come to God. And in order to do that, he that cometh to God must believe that he was. Isn't that what it says? No, it doesn't. Wrong. It says that he is. See, a lot of people have the idea, well, there was a God way back in the past. Or maybe there's a God that is coming. But there's no God now that I need to... No, you must believe that He is. He is presently involved in my life. He is wanting me to be with Him. He is there and I need to be with Him. I have to get up from wherever I am and go to Him. There is a need. He is. But also, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If Brad got out of his chair and I'm walking this way and he came halfway, would he be walking with me? And the answer is, not really. Halfway doesn't get it. To be walking with me means to be walking by my side. And for a person to walk with God, it means that they not only come to Him, but they follow after Him. Brad, come here a second. Oh, he's good. I'm picking on Brad today. See, now Brad has come to me. Very good. Stay right there. Now I'm walking. Is he diligently seeking me? No, he just stayed right there. He's not walking with me. He's motionless. Thank you. You're a good object lesson. Here's a profound theological statement. Walking is not a stationary activity. Walking with somebody means that you have to be following after their leading. You have to be sensitive to where they are going. You have to seek direction. You've got to keep your eyes open. If I would have said to Brad, walk with me, and he came up and he closed his eyes, and I didn't say another word, he'd have trouble following me. So it means keeping your eyes open. Keeping your ears open. Keeping your heart open. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. He came to Him by faith. He sought Him out. He walked with Him wherever God went. He was desirous of obedient, being obedient to whatever it was that God had for him, because in doing so, God had a reward for him. Enoch said, there is benefit to living my life in close association with the God who saves, than just being born, having children, going through the mundane things of life, and dying. It's kind of the philosophy of the world. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. What good is that? Noah says there's something better that's rewarding. And it changed his life. A vision of coming judgment upon an ungodly world that caused him to walk with God. And consequently, he had a validating proof of the reality that he was pleasing God. What was that? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Now, I am going to summarize in 30 seconds what Glenn has taught in 3 weeks. Gotcha. Quick outline of Romans. First three chapters, he said all men sin, and because sin is in the world, all men died. Chapters 4 and 5, he talks about the death of Christ paying for our sins that we might have eternal life. Chapters 6 and 7, there's this question of, I got this war going on in my innards. Righteousness versus sin. How do I conquer this? Look at verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, land of the dead. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. What do you think that testimony was? It's the Holy Spirit. Read on. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of you, of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led. Wait a minute. Leading means walking. You can't be led unless you're moving. And if you're moving, you're walking. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received that spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, what? Bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Noah heard this message, Enoch heard this message of coming judgment. He recognized life wasn't what it's supposed to be, that God had something better. And in order to escape the judgment, he came, put his faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, walked with him for 300 years, and God took him. But in that 300 years, he gave him a testimony by his Spirit that he was pleasing to him as he followed after his every command. But you say, wait a minute, Pastor. If that's true of every Christian, then why do Christians die? At least you should say that. Well, one more passage, and then believe it or not, I'm going to wrap this thing up. John chapter 11. This is the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus and his apostles. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And you can kind of hear, I purposely read it with that inflection, because I think that's what Martha was saying. It's like, yeah, I know all that stuff. That's all theological, but give me something practical. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, what? Shall never die. I will take you out of the land of the dead and put you in the land of the living. Now, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about, well, if the body be dead, that's going to be resurrected. But that spirit that indwells you, both the Holy Spirit and your own spirit, will have everlasting life. You will be transported out of a realm of death into a realm of life by the side of a Savior, where there's peace, joy. But in order to do that, you first must recognize and believe that God is, and come to Him, and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And when a man comes to faith, or a woman comes to faith, or a child comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that same Holy Spirit comes into their bodies, and that which is dead made alive and shall never ever die, translated out of this world into the kingdom of His own dear Son. Well, by the way, not only did Enoch have a testimony from God to himself, but he and his grandson became a testimony to the world that what God says is true. Can you imagine living in the days of Methuselah? Enoch was a preacher of righteousness, and I am absolutely certain he went from place to place to place saying, look, there is a day coming where God is going to judge this world of its sin. And you are living in a day of grace. There is opportunity to come to Christ right now. If you will diligently seek Him out, you can walk with Him as I am, and you can have everlasting life. And the people just went on, oh, who needs that? And Enoch would be saying, look, my son is the timetable. As long as he is living, you have opportunity. But when he is gone, the judgment's coming. And Enoch gets to be about 400 years old, and they say, ah, he's still going strong. And he gets to be about 500 years, and they said, look at him. He's still going strong. I'll bet you he's working on that boat too. Idiot. Crazy nutcase. One of those fundamentalists that believe the Word of God literally. Can't believe that stuff, can you? Look! And then all of a sudden, he's gone. Well, that's pretty good. 969 years. Hey, he was pretty strong. No judgment. I wonder how long it was between Methuselah's death and the first raindrops from heaven. But you know what? When he was gone, it came. And one day, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. And when it is gone, there's going to be a short period of time, but judgment is coming. And all those who said, ah, that'll never happen, will find out the day of grace and the opportunity to come to Christ will be passed. Today is that day. If you're here this morning and you've never come to Christ and trusted in His blood that washes away all your sin, that can take you from this realm of death and give to you eternal life, because he that hath the Son hath life. Don't say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Because we could be here today, gone tomorrow, and it'll be too late. By faith, Enoch heard a message of the future concerning the judgment of God upon sin and responded to it appropriately and began walking with God. And because he was walking to God, he was pleasing to God. And God gave him this testimony by his Holy Spirit that you are my child. I will take you out of this land of death into a place where you will never see it, and you will be gone before the judgment comes. He offers that to you today in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Let's pray. Father, as I told the elders before we started our services this morning, I am just amazed at how a text from the Old Testament book of Genesis harmonizes with three texts from the New Testament, all of different authors. It is amazing to me how some can say this Bible is just the writings of men and not see that it is the Word of God written, recorded under God's supervision by men. You have given us a coherent story with Enoch and Paul and John and the author of Hebrews. They agree, they are harmonious, they say the same thing, and it's not by accident. And therefore our hearing of these words this morning is not by accident either. Father, help us to comprehend what is here. Help us to apply it to our lives. For as I look around, I cannot help but think that if Methuselah was a New Testament saint rather than an Old Testament saint, he might be about 968 years old, and life is becoming short. We see this world heading for judgment, not only simply because it's predicted, but because I think the conditions of the world today seem to parallel the conditions of the world in the days of Noah. And people don't seem to care. People don't seem to realize how bad it really is. And people are unwilling to change. But I pray for each and every one of us today that these words will impact our souls, that we cannot leave here but changed people for the glory of God. May we be vibrant witnesses as Enoch was. May we be faithful testimonies to the grace of God as Methuselah was. May we be used of you to reach people who need to come to Christ. And Lord, I pray if that one would be here this morning, that right now with head bowed, they might call upon the only name that is capable of saving them from this coming judgment. The name of Jesus Christ, the one who loved them and gave himself on Calvary's cross for them, that they might by faith come to him, recognizing their need for sin that only he can supply, and that they might spend the rest of their life diligently seeking out, walking with him, and enjoy the blessings of eternal life. All these things I pray in that very precious name. In the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Patrick?